Thank you. I love you too. I got notes a couple different places. Let me just get everything pulled up. Okay. Man, it's nighttime. I don't usually speak in the nighttime. That seems like a bigger deal for some reason. You guys are the same people now as you were this morning, so I'll try to make it through. You've been a good group this year, and we really appreciate you guys. We're so glad that you're here. I'm not going to be super long tonight. There's just something that felt like the Lord had laid on my heart. And, you know, this year, just like every year, I always ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to tell them this year? And I felt like he told me a couple things to tell you. And I'm just going to share that with you. So let's go ahead and jump in here. And I'm just going to start with our camp theme scripture, which is Isaiah 54:10. And it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed from you. And I read that scripture, and, you know, we go through our process of, you know, what we're going to do every year, and, you know, we came on to that one, and I read it, and I came at it from a lot of different angles, and really the same angles that a lot of others have come this week. And so you've heard a lot this week about what a mountain can be in your life. You've heard that it can be an obstacle, that it can be an adventure. You've heard that it can be a feat that you conquer, right? But what I'm going to talk about tonight is about a mountain. To me, is something that provides protection and security to us. We live in the great state of West Virginia, right? And because we live here in West Virginia and we're surrounded by mountains, there's some weather things that don't normally happen around here because we're protected by the mountains, right? You know, so we don't really get a lot of hurricanes or tornadoes or tsunamis or anything like that, right? We're pretty protected here in West Virginia from those types of things, more so than those areas of the world that are not. And so I was thinking about those mountains, and as has been said, and I won't go into too much detail about it just because I don't want to get tore up over that and miss what I want to say tonight. But as you've heard, you know, we've had a little bit of a rough time here lately in Berkeley Springs, right? We've had some loss that we've dealt with. We've had some pain that we've dealt with. And that's tough. And what that felt like to me was the mountain of security that I felt was surrounding me seemed to be shaken some. But my question in that was, okay, God, I get that. And I get that you're still God on the mountain and that you're God in the valley. I understand that and I believe that with my whole heart. But right now, I'm feeling a little shaken. And I'm asking, God, I know you are good, but I'm feeling as though you're not good to me. And what does that mean? Because if I know you're good, then I need this to make sense, because that's the kind of person that I am. I need things to make sense. I need it to track with me. So I started talking to God about his goodness for me. And we all go through things in our lives where we're not quite sure. We know God is good, but we're not quite sure he's good to us, right? Because we experience the thing, whatever the thing is. And so that's when we're not quite sure. And where I landed on that is what I want to share with you, is that why do these things happen? And a lot of times why bad things happen is simply because they can. Because it's possible that they can. And unfortunately, sometimes those things happen to us. We experience loss and we experience pain and we experience heartache and all of those things because it can happen. And so how's God still good in that, right? because that's what I need to reconcile in my own mind, right? That's what we're all looking to reconcile when we go through things like that. So I came to the point where I'm like, well, God, this mountain is shaken, and I don't like that because I like security. Excuse me. So tell me about it. And so I heard it on a podcast, and it was said, whatever it is that's happening in your life that's bad, instead of asking, why, God, did this happen to me? Why did this happen? But what does this make possible? Okay? What does this make possible? And when I ask God, what does this make possible, where I land is that when I'm in a mountain, there's security in the mountain. And there's, you know, you can read, you know, a dozen scriptures in the Bible, I'm sure, about people who hid out in a mountain and in a cave. And that's where you find caves, is in the side of a mountain, right? And people are there for safety and security, and they're hiding out so that they can't be found and all of those things. So if I'm feeling as though my mountain is shaken and I'm feeling exposed out here in the valley, then what does that make possible? And I think what that makes possible is that a stretching comes. There's something that happens to our faith when we get into a position where we're exposed and God can pull us into the direction that he wants us to go and change our thinking possibly on some things, or stretch our belief in him, stretch our belief in ourselves and what he's able to do in each one of us, right? And so I started to talk to God about what does this make possible. And so as I'm talking to him, and I started to think about change, and a lot of times when we think about change, we think about the wind of change. When a storm's starting to brew, the wind changes. We know that something is coming, right? We've had some storms this week. The wind changed, and we kind of knew they were coming. So you feel that shift that's happening. And one word that has been on my heart a lot this year is the word pivot. And I've been thinking a lot about the word pivot this year because I felt as though God was putting me in a position to pivot me into some different things. And I was thinking about that in the aspect of this, and we can pivot ourselves in wherever it is that we are that will then change our perspective on some things that's happening in our lives. You know, if you're sitting on, if you're up on top of a mountain and you're looking down, everything looks really tiny, right? But if you're down in the valley and you look up, the mountain looks pretty big. But it's the same mountain either way, depending on your perception, right? And it's the same thing about our pivoting into different positions in our lives. Those things that looked big before don't look as big anymore. And those things that we didn't think were as important then become more important. And so as we get older and we, you know, grow relationships and those types of things, we start to realize that those people that are around us become a lot more important in our support system. And we can start to recognize a little easier who those people are around us that are part of our support system and we need in our lives, and those who aren't necessarily that person anymore, right? And that's hard. That's kind of a pivot moment where we realize those things. So I'm skipping all around, and I'm trying to stay on track. So then we find ourselves where we are without the safety of the mountain, and the wind is making us feel as though God has forsaken us sometimes. And we're like, you know, God, remember me over here? Remember me? You know, sometimes we get a little, we're like, God, but I'm faithful to you. Why is this happening to me? Right? Anybody else ever do that? I do that. And so we get in those things, and so we question God about those types of things. And I think that's okay. I think it's always okay to question God. But we're like, you know, God, what's happening? And so instead of us having the perspective of, why is this happening to me, God? I've tried to get in the habit more of asking, okay, God, what is it that you're doing that you're shifting me into a different lane? You're moving me into a different position. Why are you doing that? Because if it's happening, I can guarantee that it's important. And if we will tap into what it is that God's doing and move with him, I think that we will always find that once we get there, we'll see the work that he's doing and it'll make sense to us. A lot of times, though, what happens is we fight it, right? We're like, we know that God wants us to do this, but we don't really want to do that, so we're just going to fight it a little bit. And sometimes fight it a lot. And so I think it's important that, as we've heard a couple times this week, the yes is important. The yes is really important. You know, I've made a point over the past few years to say yes to God, I think, in a lot of ways that I wouldn't have before. But what I have found is that it has grown my faith a lot, more than what I ever thought that it would be. And in those moments, because what happens sometimes is when we get stressed out or we have anxiety about something, you know, the first sign of us being in that position is that we get a little critical of things. And I found myself being pretty critical of some things. I found myself looking at people in a judgmental way that really wasn't good. And questioning people's motives a lot more, really, than what I should have. And so I found myself doing these things. But what I realized was I was doing that because God was shifting me, and I just wasn't quite sure what was going on. And so what I decided to do instead was to go to God and say, okay, what does this make possible? What is it that you're doing in my life? What is it that you're changing? What is it that you're asking of me? And so another thing that I think is really important is, in that same note, that we don't allow our circumstances of the past and the things that we've done in the past to become a mountain that we hide in our lives. Everybody in this room has something that they've experienced in their life that is a past regret or mistake that was in our control or wasn't in our control, either way. But a lot of times what we do is we hide behind the mountain of that thing with our stress and our anxiety and all of those things because we feel like because it happened to us, that's who we are. And it's not. It's not who we are. I don't know if you guys realize today, but the message that Tori preached this morning about stress is not good and it's not cool. Stress is not cool. I don't know if you guys realize how big of a revelation that is to you in this room in this generation. Because one thing that I've noticed a lot is that we have become a people that if we're not stressed and anxious and worried and all of those things, we feel like we're not doing it right. And I don't understand that, right? So take what she said this morning to heart back home with you. If you journal, write that in your journal. You all have a phone. Put it in your phone. Stress is not cool. And we can't live in that place. We have got to deal with the things that cause us stress and figure out ways to navigate them so that we don't deal with it like that all the time. I deal with a lot of stress, and I've tried to figure out ways to not be so anxious about those types of things. I've said this before here, action cures anxiety. You have to figure out what it is that you need to do to move your mind away from those things. Okay? Sometimes it's going to be, we have to deal with the stuff that's happened in our lives that cause us to be anxious. Okay? Some of us have some things happening in our lives that have maybe been traumatic or that have been things that have hurt us that we need to deal with. We need to talk to somebody about them so that we can move on from them. Because if we don't, then everything that we do in our lives, we view through the lens of whatever that thing is, okay? And we can't do that because stress isn't cool, right? And it causes stress. And we don't want to live a stressful life. Does anybody like it? Right. I don't like it either. So we have to figure out ways to do it. Action cures anxiety. So what thing can we do? Let's figure out something else to do. Like sometimes it might just be as simple as put your phone down and go outside for a walk. Right? Okay. Sometimes it might be turn off your television and stop watching shows filled with anger and violence and all of those things that cause us stress and go play basketball outside. Whatever your thing is, go pick up your guitar, go pick up your drumsticks, go pick up your drawing pad and pencils. Whatever your thing is, pick it up and do it instead. Because I think what you'll find is that your creativity, people think that they're not as creative. People think that this generation is not as creative as generations before you. And it's because you're not practicing your creativity. Because you're stressed about school, and you're stressed about home, and you're stressed about your friends, because you constantly have it in front of you on your phone, glowing in your face. And that's what you're focused on, and that's where you're distracted. So we have to get our minds off of that and move it onto something else. And the number one place that I think you can put it is back in to your own creativity for the things that are going on in your mind. God is speaking to you all the time. All the time. And it may not seem like it. And today, if you are somebody, just for an example, that your creativity flows through art, okay? You like to paint or draw or whatever those things are. You know what? Today, you might have just been in arts and crafts and you really enjoyed it and you made a cross picture, or whatever you did today, I'm not sure. And that's what you did today. But by allowing God to work through you in a small way and just seem small, you made a picture because we ask you to make a picture. But by going through that process, when you get home, you may feel, I really did like that. So do that more. I mean, what could you possibly create if you honed your craft every day and did something like that every day? What could you create? We have a lot of people in here that are creators. We have a lot of people in here who have gifts in that realm. And I think that it's important for you to act those things out. So I think we have to be brave enough to be vulnerable, to get past those things in our lives that keep us in a constant state of stress. So my next verse is Isaiah 54, 2-2, which is the verses just before our camp verse this year. I didn't write that one down, so here we go. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I read this whole chapter and the chapters before and after, and you know, really when you read this book, what you find is that there's a lot of these people are just out in the desert. They're talking about Zion and talking about all of the things that they are, which is a desolate land that hasn't had the voice of God for a very long time, okay? So these aren't people that are having happy-go-lucky lives right now. They're having a tough time. And this word that comes to them is that they need to stretch their tent stakes. They need to strengthen their stakes. I think that's important for us to stretch us in these valley or these desert places to where God's called us to be. So here's why we have to allow God to move us to the uncomfortable places for his glory. You've heard a lot about the gifts inside of you this week. And when I asked God what he wanted to say to you this year, he showed me this. So who remembers the movie Beauty and the Beast? The Disney Beauty and the Beast, right? So when I was asking God about what to say to you this year, a vision from that movie is what came to me. And the part that came to me was the library, right? And if you remember the movie, you know, Belle gets to the castle and the beast is there and she's scared, except for she's there for some time and, you know, they kind of befriend each other and, you know, they're kind of going through all of these things. And ultimately, she ends up into the library. And the walls are just lined and lined with all kinds of books, right? And she loved it, right? It was her thing, right? And so she's in there and she's looking around at all the books and she wants to read all the books, right? And so I saw this library for you guys, and what I thought about was, what would the library for God look like in heaven? What does God's library look like? Okay? And when I think of his library, I think it looks a lot like that. I think there's lots of books, and there's lots of things sitting around. You know, there's lots of boxes and art and all of these things inside of his library. And it's all of God's favorite things. And every time that I think we're brave enough to do what it is that God's placed in our hearts to do, I feel like God walks over to a bookshelf in his library, and he picks up that story of your life. So there are people in this room that have stories that they need to write down for the glory of God. There's some of you that have books inside of you that you need to write down. There's authors in this room, right? Okay? So when you pick up a pen to write a book, or you type it out on your computer nowadays, you know, you write that, and you do what's inside of you, or you sing that song that God's placed on your heart. I believe that God walks over on those shelves and he picks that thing up and he breathes life into it on your behalf. And that's forever in his library as a story about you that he cares about, right? And so I want you guys to think about that every time you get an idea, right? Lots of people get ideas all the time, and we're never quite sure if we should do them. And I think what happens is we miss out on a lot of things because we're like, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I don't know, that sounds dumb. You know, there's a lot of people who have invented a lot of great things in our history that probably sounded kind of dumb the first time around. There's a lot of people who tried a lot of things that failed the first 100 times, right? I mean, thank God they kept working on the airplane, you know. Thank God they kept working on electricity. Thank God that they worked on those things that we have today that we don't really even think about. But if we actually sat down and thought about it, it was something that is now that used to not be. It just wasn't there. And so it's almost like it's created out of thin air, but really it's created out of your mind because God breathed life into your idea. Does anybody think that maybe they have some ideas that are important enough that God's going to breathe some life into it? All of you do, if you're wondering. Every one of you. So that thing may look like a book. It may look like music. It may look like art. It may look like a calculator on your desk at your office. It may look like a teacher in a classroom. It may look like a lot of different things. I was thinking about what it might look like. You know, I think it might look like a broken string on God's shelf sometimes, a broken guitar string that broke one day because you played your entire heart out worshiping God. I think it might look like a broken string. And he's picking that string up and he's saying, I've got this string because they played their whole heart out for me and did it just for my glory that day. I think there's a State of the Union address that has one of your names on it. Okay? All right. I think there are books that have your name on it. I think that there are medicines and doctorate degrees and master's degrees that have your names on them there. And I think when you move in the direction of what God's called you to do, then he will breathe life on that thing, and there isn't anything that you can do to stop it. Because God thinks that you are so important and so valuable that he literally would walk over to something and breathe his own breath on it for you. And he'd do that for any one of you in this room. And so I think that it's important for us to know that there are things in our lives that are hard. And there are mountains that we need to get away from because we're using them as safety nets. And we need to step away and let God stretch us in those times that he needs to stretch us and grow our faith in ways that he needs to grow our faith. And we need to take that small pivotal step in the direction that he has called us to, because the things that are inside of your head that he needs from you are too important for you not to do that. All right? It's too important for you to not do these things, because there's someone out there that needs whatever it is that you have. Okay? And I don't care what the profession is. I'm in a business profession. People don't think that's too holy sometimes, you know? Right? I think it's pretty holy because I know who I am. And I know what I do for the people who sit in front of me. I think that's holy work. There's things that we do that other people may not think that that's too holy. But I think that anything that you put your hand to that God has breathed life on is exactly what he's called you to. And you should walk that out with your whole heart. And the one thing that I wanted to say about that is that you hear a phrase a lot of times. I'm going to pull it up here so I don't mess it up. And it's this. You know, I don't know whoever said this phrase. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Anybody ever heard that phrase? Okay. I don't believe that. Okay. All right. Because this is what I'm here to tell you today. Anything that God's placed in your heart that you have the passion to do every day is hard. And you will work for it. Okay? And I don't mean that in some like grueling, you do it or you die, or you do it or you go to hell or anything like that. I don't mean that. I mean that it's hard work because it matters. Anything that you have passion about, that you're doing the work for, it is hard. And so when you start doing whatever the thing is that you're going to do, and it's hard, don't get discouraged because somebody told you that, well, if this was what I was supposed to do and if this is something that I enjoy, then it shouldn't be hard. That isn't true. Okay? So that's just a word of encouragement to you that it is going to be hard. Okay? Especially when you first start out, right? You know, there's a lot of work that goes into starting something up. There's a lot of things that practices that you need to put into place that are very hard because it's a sacrifice, right? You know, anything that we're doing for the glory of God, I think should be a sacrifice of praise. We think praise sometimes is just singing a song. It's not. It's what we're doing for God's glory. It's a sacrifice of praise. It should feel as though we're giving something else up to do that. That's kind of what a sacrifice means, right? So it's a sacrifice of praise to God. But I do also think that if you do what it is that God's called you to do, you will work for it. But you will get to a point in your career or in whatever your calling is that you'll realize all of it was worth it. It matters. You will feel a weight of responsibility about it on you. because it's that important and you're that passionate about it. So I would just encourage you that even if it feels hard, it doesn't mean that it's not God. I do also think that we need to practice some discernment in that the things that we're called to, if we start to feel as though, we need some direction, I think we need to seek the counsel of other people and talk to them about it and make sure that we are moving in the right path. But I just want to encourage you each today to go home from here and write down those things that are burning inside of you. Somebody was here one time that said, do the thing that makes your eyes light up. What are those things to you? Write those things down. They may change from now until later, and that's okay, but write those things down. I listened to a story one time about a man who his passion was that he wanted to have a car detailing business. That isn't my thing, but he did. And he worked on it every day. And that doesn't sound like that's something that gives glory to God, but I can tell you this. When you have something successful like that that you're doing in your life and you're able to make money at doing it, there's a lot of glory that comes to God when you can be someone who pours finances and time into something. Those things are important. I think it's important for us to know that God's glory comes in a lot of different packages. I've seen his glory work in a lot of ways around here lately, in the people in this community that I'm grateful to be part of, because we have been able to see God move in the midst of really horrible circumstance. And God didn't create that circumstance, but I think he certainly showed up here for the people here. I think that we were able to see him move in these situations. So I just encourage you to find your passion. Don't hide behind a mountain. Let him stretch you. Let him extend your tent stakes. Let him pull you into what it is that he's called you to do. I just want to speak that over your lives right now. I'm going to pray with you and just really ask God to give you all a vision of what it is that he'd have you do when you leave here. You know, some of you already know some things that you're thinking about, but I'll just pray, Lord, thank you for the ability to gather here this week, and I thank you for these people. I thank you for the desires of their hearts that you're well aware of, Lord. I lift those things up to you right now, Lord. Whatever it is that's going through their minds, we would just lift those things up to you because you know the desires of our heart, Lord. You care about the things that we care about. And Lord, I would just ask that you breathe life into those things, into each of their lives right now. Lord, that you would just give them a vision. Lord, give them hope. Lord, and I just speak to anything that would discourage them, to any voice in their heads that would tell them that they can't do something. Lord, I speak to that voice and say, you have no power or authority here in Jesus' name. I just thank you and I praise you for all things. Amen.